Leader!
Order, order.
I think question time is a very serious time for this House and for democracy, and I object for it to be termed story time.
The Speaker, David Carter, reacting to a complaint from Labor's Chief Whip, Chris Hipkins, about a lengthy answer from Cabinet Minister Stephen Joyce.
Well above inflation.
Order,
which businesses...
order. Point of order, Chris Hipkins.
Mr Speaker, this is question time, not story time.
Order. Ministers... if the... order. Yeah. Order. If the member wants to raise a point of order, I'll hear it, but I won't... not prepared to put up with that sort of rubbish from a senior opposition. Point of order.
Chris Hipkins then repeated a complaint that he'd already made once this week.
When ministers read long-winded, pre-scripted answers to government questions, there is going to be more interjection from the side of the House.
Order.
Mr Carter said he would intervene when ministers gave answers that were too long.
But at the end of the day, I'm the adjudicator of the length of answer, not the opposition whip.
Who also had a question for the Leader of the House, Gerry Brownlee.
Chris Hipkins.
Thank you, Mr Speaker. Can I start by wishing all members of the House a very happy Easter break? Mr Speaker, I notice on the order paper that there are currently only 21 government orders of the day available on the order paper, and in fact there are 22 members' orders of the day available on the order paper. I wonder whether the Leader of the House has given any consideration to increasing the allocation of time to members' orders of the day, given the government seem to be having difficulty filling their half of the order paper.
The Honourable Gerry Brownlee.
Well, Mr Speaker, the relative inexperience of the Shadow Leader of the House is showing through in that statement. He will know that this is a very busy government. They are big pieces of legislation that are before the House at the present time. And if I might quote a former Leader of the House when a similar question was posed to him about 2004, his reply then, sir, was, "Stand by. More is on its way."
Gerry Brownlee, as the Leader of the House, talking about what might be described in his role as operational matters. The answer given by ministers reluctant to divulge any details on topics as diverse as railway engines and spies. First, the Minister for State-Owned Enterprises, Todd McClay, who faced two questions about reports that KiwiRail plans to replace electric locomotives with diesel engines on the main trunk line.
I'd note this is an operational matter and is a decision for the KiwiRail board. I would also note that KiwiRail have made no decisions on this issue.
Then there was the Minister of Trade, Tim Grosser, responding to questions about his knowledge of the government using its external spy agency, the GCSB, to intercept the communications of his rivals in his unsuccessful campaign for the presidency of the World Trade Organization.
While we accept that there is a foreign intelligence gathering agency, which does the surprising thing of gathering foreign intelligence, we do not comment on specific operations.
Now, from operational matters in the chamber to operational matters in the committee rooms, with this report from Rhys Lyon.
The Coroner's Amendment Bill, currently under consideration by the Justice and Electoral Committee, makes a number of changes to coronial procedures following a review of the Coroner's Act 2006. Making a submission on the bill was Dr. Simon Stables, a forensic pathologist for the National Forensic Pathology Service, who suggested pathologists could be more suitable than coroners as a point of contact for grieving families.
I work in Christchurch. The coroner on duty is 800 kilometres away in an office in Auckland. We have cases where whānau are there with the tupapaku. I'm finished the autopsy. I can trot around the corner, sit on the floor of our whānau room, talk with the family about what we've found, what it means, what we're waiting for in terms of extra results, what the implications of that are. Then the family can take that with them when they go to the tangi the next day.
Dr. Stables did not welcome a proposed change to that process.
The way the change in the amendment is now read is that I'm not going to be allowed to do that. So any contact has to be at the family's request through the coroner who's 800 kilometres away, not with the medical specialist who actually saw the body, because coroners don't actually see the bodies. Coroners don't actually go into mortuaries. Mm. Pathologists do all that stuff. We're the medical specialists that actually play that role.
And Dr. Stables found some level of support in a later submission from Chief Coroner Justice Deborah Marshall.
We agree with the pathologists that they should be talking to the families and health professionals if that will assist them in their job. Complete agreement with that. Our difficulty is that sometimes we get disputes for families, we get people pretending to be family members when they're not, and our 24-hour centre can spend a lot of time trying to resolve those issues. So we're supportive of the pathologist talking to the family, but we'd like it to be through the coroner, who could say, this is the representative, here's their contact details.
Chief Coroner Justice Deborah Marshall with that submission on the Coroner's Amendment Bill.
That report from Rhys Lyon. The House is adjourned until Tuesday, April the 28th. I'm Tom Fruin, and this program was made with funding from Parliament.